B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Hour. Mike Missinelli Show brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, where famous tomato pie hoagie parche is every bit as good. It is Football Friday, and Football Friday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, over two decades, helping our community. All right, let's get back to the phones and talk about this situation here and what we're going to do about the backup quarterback situation and whether Carson Wentz should play for the rest of the preseason. Jimmy in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jimmy.
Yes, how you doing today?
What's up, Jim?
First-time caller.
Thank you.
I think you and Tyrone get along great together. Just want to tell you that.
Thank you.
Kaepernick, I just don't know what he ever did that everybody's talking about him. What's special about him? He played for the 49ers and did nothing.
Did nothing.
I mean, you know, what did he do for when...
Almost won a Super Bowl and was in another one. What do you mean he did nothing?
He went to the Super Bowl because of his leg, though, right or wrong?
No, wrong.
He had no arm.
Yeah, well, you missed it then.
No, I didn't miss it. I watched all football.
You missed it. He has a great arm.
You got to watch the game, man. There's no way he's a good quarterback for this team.
Yeah, why not?
Chip Kelly, when he played with Chip Kelly, what, about 4 years ago, 5 years, whatever it was, what did he do?
Who do you have that's better, Cody Kessler?
What's that?
Is Cody Kessler better than Kaepernick? If Cody Kessler...
Wait a minute, give me this.
If Cody Kessler gets hurt, is Clayton Thorson better than Colin Kaepernick?
Right now, I don't know. It's close.
Oh, come on.
When's the last time you've seen him play a game?
Stop it. Come on.
All right, but there's going to be
quarterbacks
coming along.
Listen, Jimmy, just admit, you don't like Colin Kaepernick.
Everybody
just
likes Kaepernick for one reason. Why? He went to one Super Bowl and did nothing else, and he kneels. That's it.
Just admit it, you don't like him. So we get
on. I did like him.
Okay.
Until his
lifetime quarterback rating is 88.9. That's like better than Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, but how many balls did he throw?
What do you mean, how many balls did he throw? You could look up his damn stats.
I don't need it, because I know he had
The original question I asked you, if Cody Kessler goes down, is Colin Kaepernick your best chance?
How much money are you going to pay this guy?
You're not answering the question. Just answer the question.
What? Because you're going to answer one guy against
You can either say yes or no. If you don't think he's better, say no. All right.
I hoy is better.
Okay. Well, the hoying.
Just have a backup quarterback.
Jimmy, let's...
When are you going to hand
Jimmy,
the ball off? Listen, can't throw?
I know why you don't like Colin Kaepernick.
Why don't you like him?
I know why you don't like him.
Why?
I know. Well, I don't have to get into it. Nick and Hershey are on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
Hey, I want to say, I didn't think about that commercial till you said it, and I watched that commercial yesterday, and I was just like you said, who brings a bottle of booze to their mom?
Well,
you know?
It struck me as funny. It really did.
Party, bring a bottle of wine, yes, but that's like liquor. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's like, knock, knock. Hey, Mom, I got this glassine envelope of cocaine. Let's get wild.
Exactly. Him and his mom have a good relationship, obviously. They like to have a good time. But no, I completely agree with one that you said, that I don't think Carson Wentz should play a snap in this preseason, honestly. You can't risk the possibility of injury.
Uh-huh.
But also, I look at it as, you know, I think we're all focusing on the past 2 years, which I understand. But how many quarterbacks in their careers have come back from injury? So this whole conversation might be a moot point, in a sense of, we'll look back at it 10 weeks from now when the Eagles are, 4-0.
Every quarterback comes back from injury. There's not a quarterback's never hurt. Like, come on.
Well, no, agreed. But I mean, like, Carson Wentz, we might not even see the backup quarterback. So whoever we sign, whether it be, you know, Cody Kessler, Colin Kaepernick, you know, Nate Sudfeld, mm-hmm. we might not even...
You can't plan for you not needing it. You've got to have a blanket, you know?
Of course. I mean, you need a safety net, which I mean, and, you know, I I lean one way, but I do think, if it goes to football standpoint, I think Colin Kaepernick, as long as he comes in here and sticks to football, I would support him 100%.
What do you mean if he sticks to football? What? He can't?
Well, I mean, the whole political thing.
So he can't protest anymore?
Well, no, he can. That's completely up to him. I mean, I have no problem with it.
Okay. But you said as long as he sticks to football.
You know,
so you don't like the fact that he was a protester?
I'm not a huge fan, but I support him as a football player. And, you know, I mean, whatever the Eagles bring in is in their best interest.
Why aren't you a huge fan of his protest?
Why was I not?
Yeah.
I think it could have been done on a different avenue. Like,
why? Why? Well, the avenue that most people are going to see is a football game, right?
Well,
a protest is only effective if people see it. Am I right?
Well, of course. But I thought he could have assembled a press conference outside of the football and not do it on the football field. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because of, you know.
But why did it bother you that he did it on the football field?
Just because, I mean, if you look at the shield, it's red, white, and blue. Service members. I wasn't against the fact that he protested. I think, you know, everybody has the
Yeah, no, I think you are against the fact that he protested. But that's okay. All right, Colin Kaepernick, his last year was 2016. And that was a really bad football team. So he was 1-10 as a starter. He threw for 2,241 yards. In 11 starts, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a rating of 90.7. So is that a bad year? It's a bad football team. Is that a bad year for a quarterback? 60% completion ratio, 16 TDs, 4 interceptions.
And the reason it was 11, he had off-season shoulder and elbow surgeries. So he did all those stats coming off of it, it had multiple surgeries. And that was part of the reason why he didn't end up in Denver that particular year was because he wouldn't have been able to pass a physical due to the shoulder and elbow surgeries.
Yards per game, 186.8.
On a wretched team.
On a bad team. He's 1-10 in his 11 games as a starter.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad year. And he has had previous success in the league. So I'm not measuring him as a starting quarterback. I'm measuring him right now. Is he better than Clayton Thorson? That's all I'm measuring. Is he better? Ask yourself the question right now. Clayton Thorson, I don't know what kind of player he's going to be, but he needs to be stashed on a practice squad because he's obviously not ready yet to be the backup quarterback to Cody Kessler if Cody Kessler has to start a game. I'm just looking for the third position here. Let's go to Jovan in Wildwood back with us. What's up, Jovan?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So, how do you think about the game tonight? Last night, how do you feel?
It's kind of a nothing game. I don't know how to feel about a game where no starters play. So, I was looking at a certain couple positions. I was pleased with Dillard. I wasn't that pleased with Josh Sweat. I wasn't pleased with the linebackers that they played last night because they can't cover. And
yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
I wasn't pleased with some secondary guys. I didn't see enough of Sidney Jones and did not see enough of Rasul Douglas. They had him out of there quick.
So how do you feel, you know, about Sasso getting injured? Like, how long do you think he'll be out?
Well, he's hit 6 weeks at least. So, yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that he got injured. See, this is why I don't want Carson Wentz to play, because that was an innocuous play. It was a roughing the passer penalty where he got knocked backwards. The braces fall, he breaks his wrist. I don't need an injury like that to Carson Wentz. I just don't.
Yeah, like that guy, like Sutfeld could have been Carson Wentz last night.
Yeah, it's a fluke injury, and I don't want any flukes to happen in preseason. Now, if a fluke happens during the regular season, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. But I want my guy pristine. I don't need him to take snaps now with this situation.
Yeah, I understand that. So do you think the Eagles should get Kaepernick?
Well, they certainly can get him. He's out there. It's all a matter of whether they want to get him or not. I mean, listen, they can convince Josh McCown to come back out of retirement, but I don't believe what Doug Peterson said last night, that they're not going to do anything at that position. They have to at this point. Because Cody Kessler gets hurt, and then what? Thorson can't be a backup. Yeah, Thorson can't be a backup to Carson Wentz. All right, man. You sound exasperated. Let's go with Mark in Allentown. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Mark?
All right, I'm going to take the
take it away from the Eagles for a little bit here and go back to the Phillies.
You're fighting Phil. Did you watch last night on YouTube?
The fighting Phil, yes. I have YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
I live up the road from Tyrone a little bit, so I get all the New York stations. With the YouTube TV, I get to watch all the Sixers and Phillies, which is great.
Okay.
So I was watching last night, and I don't even know who the announcers were, but man, what a flat, dreadful performance. I'm watching Nola, like, battle Mad Bum in the batter's box. Like, Madison is giving Nola, you know, fits even as a hitter.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty good hitter, though. He's a good hitter.
Yeah, he is. No, he is. But, and, you know, the announcers are saying his pregame batting practices are, like, not to be missed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But then you got Kapler giving his little 30-second uninspiring sound bites in the dugout. I have a 8-year-old boy and a 7-year-old boy. They're finally into baseball and into Phillies. We went last week to the Giants game. They wanted to stay the whole game. It's great. And all I wanted this year was the playoff run. And I just see them deflating.
Oh, yeah,
like
it is. There's no question about it that they're deflating. And it's easy to see. This team plays dead. And the culture's bad. It's just bad. And General Manager's going to take inventory. I know he wants to keep Kapler. But, you know, it's clear the way they play that there is no clubhouse unity here.
But then you're back to, if they get rid of Kapler, who's out there? Girardi?
There's like 100 guys that are out there. What, Kapler, the last manager to come down the pike? You're worried about that?
No, but who? Well, no,
why would you be worried about anybody who they choose? It's, you know, the only thing you know is that Kapler's not the right guy for this team.
No, I'm just so disappointed. They have.
You know who's out there? Joe Girardi's out there.
Yeah, they just have that lineup. I was hoping for a playoff run, and now I see the Mets catching them in the wild card, and
to me, this team, it would be a miracle if they stay in it. Now that I see the way they're playing, they're just dead men. And if they're dead men, it speaks to the manager's culture. It's clear as day to me at this point. And, you know, these guys, they want to be stubborn about it. They've got to admit to themselves, this team finishes. All right, we're talking about whether they finish fourth. And the other day I said, even if they finish fourth, he's coming back. But if they stall and finish fourth, like if they're way out, if they slide way out of it, it's got to be clear to the front office that a change needs to be made. Whether they think it's fair or not, there's something wrong with the culture of the way this team is being managed. So, I don't know.
Now, remember last year, Mike, at the start of August, they were still in first place. And then Jason Stark mentioned they had because they finished under 500, that was a record-breaking collapse last year. There had never been a team in first place as late as the Phillies were that finished under 500. Now we're in August again. If they leak oil the exact same way as last year, despite the fact that you added Bryce Harper, which should give you juice, and I know there was injuries and stuff, but the fact you add the biggest free agents in baseball, and then you have the same kind of collapse, at that point, it's not the players.
Yeah.
At that point, it is the culture. It is the room. It is the teaching, the approach. Because obviously, it seems like when teams adjust, they don't have an adjustment back. Clearly.
Yeah, that game last night was just, Bumgarner's pitching well right now. I get it, but, you know, first of all, he puts a bad lineup out there last night, right? Because he wants to load it with right-handed hitters. And Rodriguez starts. Now, there are a lot of people, here's the thing, I know I've heard people screaming about the Adam Haseley thing and why they sent him down. Well, the reason why they sent him down is because he's a left-handed hitter. And you can't have that many lefties, and it's counterproductive that many lefties. But the right-handed bat that you have is Sean Rodriguez. You got to do better than that. You got to be better as a right-handed batter than Sean Rodriguez. I can see why they sent Haseley down, because he wasn't going to get any playing time with Bruce coming back and Dickerson. They acquired Dickerson. Why didn't acquire a right-handed bat at the trading deadline is befuddling to me. And so the best they have, they got to keep this guy on the team, is Sean Rodriguez. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And they knew they were going to send down Franco 4 days after the trade deadline. So we didn't know, but they knew. So they had to get a righty back was coming.
Corey Dickerson, all right. Maybe it was a bargain to get Corey Dickerson, but it's another left-handed bat. It doesn't help you. It's counterproductive.
So Haseley had to go. And I actually, I think they made the right move. He wasn't going to get any at-bats. Might as well get him at-bats there and bring him up in September. The play-by, is YouTube in San Francisco? Is YouTube headquarters in San Francisco?
One of them is Silicon
Valley. Yeah, they're close to there.
Right, well, then that explains their broadcast team was Rich Waltz. I think he's a West Coast guy. Sean Estes has to be connected to the Giants. He might be a Giants guy because he pitched for the Giants for a long time.
Yeah.
Left-handed pitcher.
I remember
he was actually pretty good at that one point.
Yeah.
He had a couple of really good years. And Ben Davis was on the broadcast.
That's what they do. They get a kind of a neutral play-by-play, and then they get one color from the one team and one from the other. Kruk was sick the last time, so Ben Davis ended up doing both of the YouTube games. It was supposed to be Kruk for one, Davis, but it ended up being Ben Davis for both.
Sean Estes was 19-5 in 1997 for the Giants.
Yeah, I remember him being good.
I don't think he threw that hard, though. He's a left-hander.
Did he end up playing for the Mets some?
He played 1 year for the Mets.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Cubs, Colorado, Arizona, and San Diego. So he was with a different team every year. He was like the left-handed journeyman that people threw into a rotation.
He didn't have Piazza's back one time.
Like what the Phillies have now. Left-handed journeyman in the rotation. He was that guy.
He was that guy that just jumped around.
All right, let's go. David in Lebanon. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, Mikey. How you doing?
What's going on, David?
All right, so I just wanted to weigh in on the Kaepernick thing real quick. I agree 100% that they should definitely give him a shot. I wouldn't have thought this in the past, but, man, time heals all wounds, and number one. Number two, the only thing that I see that would be an issue, and how we would trust, so we know they wouldn't bring him in if they knew this would happen, but it still has the potential to happen, is the media circus that's going to follow that, man. I mean, that if it's something that's going to affect the rest of the team, I could see where that would
be. The media circus will only affect it if he's an important player. In a backup role, maybe even as the third stringer, there's not going to be a circus.
You don't think so?
No. I think that, you know, like, it's counterproductive to make him a topic if he's a third stringer. Because he's not in anybody's face at that point. He's just a third string quarterback.
Right.
So I don't think he came in as a starter, then that's different. But he's not. Yeah,
I laughed out loud when I'm still laughing thinking about it. When you said to not play Wentz, because what's he going to do? Forget how to play? I mean, it's true. He's not. There's no reason at all.
You got to put it on a scale. Would I like to see him play some snaps? Yes, but under this circumstance that happened last night, I can't have him play. I can't have him get hurt because I can't entrust the team to Cody Kessler.
Right. And Thorson, I mean, I haven't played football, and I never played quarterback since 1988, and I can still play better than him.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Kaepernick. It's been endorsed by the president now. So it's like the patriotic side that didn't want him in the NFL has now kind of been disarmed by the president.
Yeah, that could
be. The president say if he's good enough, play him.
Yeah.
Sign him.
Yeah. Mike, I want to, if I could, I'm from, born and raised in Philly. I live in Lebanon now. I have something that I really, really want to plug, and I just want to know if you'd help me out with that right now, if I could do it.
What are you doing?
Is it
a charity?
No, I filmed a movie about my life. I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic of over 15 years, and we had it going into festivals and stuff, and we got picked up for national distribution.
Oh, that's awesome.
First time making a film, man, yeah.
That's good. What's the name of the film, and where can we see it?
It's called Right Before Your Eyes. Mm-hmm. And we have Brian Anthony Wilson in it, who was Vernon Holly in The Wire. We have Brian O'Halloran, who was in Clerks. He played Dante. I'm sure you know who that is. The star of the film is Adam Ratcliffe, who's been in a bunch of HBO stuff and Netflix things he's doing. You know, he's working hard every day in the industry. But it's about me growing up in Philly and, seeing the alcoholism in my family. And we even have a scene in the Eagles Bar where I'm wearing my beloved number 66.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Where can we see it again?
Right now, I left my job at the VA in Lebanon to work as a consultant for my own film. And so we're working right now to get theaters all over the place to sign up. And we're getting some great responses.
Well, listen, man, good luck with it. Vernon Holly, huh? The big detective.
Yeah, that's it, man. He's in it. Ryan, he's an awesome dude. Check out the website if you get a chance, beforeyoureyesfilm.com. And if you want to send me a message, and you can find out links for where the film will be playing.
Okay, beforeyoureyesfilm.com.
Right.
All right, man. Yeah. David, good luck with it, bro.
Thanks so much. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. There you go. Holly's in it, man.
Yeah, I knew you were in. Missing the wire.
Yeah.
Like, where's the link?
I know.
Gonna give it a shot.
Holly, remember, Holly Big C was with Bunk convinced him to reopen the investigation that it wasn't Omar who did the shooting in the corner grocery store, that lady who was stacking the coke.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bunk. You going to tell me I do my job now?
That show was really holds up. I've been able to watch some of that in dribs and drabs. I haven't been able to watch The Sopranos again, but I've been able to watch The Wire some in dribs and drabs again.
Best ever.
It's really good.
610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It's Big Pimpin', baby. 3:30, time for an update. Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 900 votes on this one so far. Should the Eagles bring in another quarterback? 64% say yes, 36% say no.
All right, and of course, the quarterback we're talking about a lot is Kaepernick. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't care if they sign Kaepernick or not. I'm just looking for somebody who's better than Clayton Thorson. All right? That's really the extent of my wishes at this particular moment. So if it's Kaepernick, fine. If it's somebody else, fine. If it's McCown, I'm okay with that. Now, I just got an email from a guy named George. I won't put his last name out there. And he writes, so you're saying if they sign Kaepernick, there's not going to be a media circus? So tell me, Mike, what happens when he doesn't stand for the national anthem? How do you think that's going to go over with the fans? You're a moron if you think otherwise. This town will go crazy. And here's the killer line. I would rather see this team lose than sign him. Well, listen, if that's your opinion, knock yourself out. I would rather see him win. All right? I'm sorry. Maybe it's a radical idea. I would like to see him win rather than not sign a guy who can help you win.
Can you explain something?
Because of the national anthem.
Because you have more wisdom than I do. The Phillies.
Debatable.
The Phillies center fielder isn't with the team because of something that was a violent crime. I know that they dropped the charge, but he was accused of, he's currently being suspended because he allegedly did a violent act, a violent crime.
You're talking about Odubel Herrera.
Right.
Yes.
Leaving allegedly, you know, finger marks on her throat. Mm-hmm. To me, that violent crime is worse than Kaepernick, in my opinion. Somebody might differ. How come you don't get emails that say, if the Phillies bring him back, I'd rather them lose?
Oh, I get those.
Those same people.
Well,
they seem to ignore crime and be bothered by this part.
I get it. But see, you can't get people to think the way you think. If that's the guy's thought, he'd rather lose than sign Kaepernick because he would not stand for the national anthem. He's entitled to that opinion. I don't happen to share his opinion.
I'm fine with that opinion, but I'm saying he should also, if the Phillies made that move, which I don't think they will next season, he should write the same email with the same energy and say, I'd rather the Phillies lose than have a violent criminal on the team.
I think that we'd get a lot of reaction like that if the Phillies did bring him back.
I don't think it from the same people. I don't think the Venn diagram, I think those people would then be like, well, he paid his debt. Oh, they didn't. I think he would then finesse it because he would think that he can help the team win. It's this issue makes people become hypocrites.
Here's the difference. The difference is, if Odubel Herrera comes back, he's paid his dues. The presumption is he's not going to sexually or assault any other women, right? What they're saying here, if Kaepernick comes back, he's still going to do the thing that irked people in the first place, which is to kneel. I don't know if he would do it or not, frankly. And maybe the Eagles would say, listen, we would sign you, but we don't want that kind of controversy, so we're asking you to adhere to the league's edict, which is to stand for the anthem.
Right, and they did change the rule. Now,
the rule is now he has to.
He has to go into the tunnel. My guess would be he would stay in the tunnel until the conclusion of the anthem.
Yeah.
Like Bennett did last year a few times, and then come out. That's what my guess he would do. So he wouldn't, I don't think he would kneel. I think he would stay in the tunnel, which is the new rule. You either stand or go in the tunnel.
The people would still be triggered by him being in the tunnel.
They probably would, but they wouldn't be as triggered to the extent where he's an important player. He would be an insurance player anyway. And so the longer the season went on, there would be less focus. Okay, it would be old hat. You know, the focus wouldn't be, you know, hot. He's just another guy. At that point,
he'd be mad for about a week.
Right.
And then, all right, he's the backup.
It would evaporate.
Here's Carson.
I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Kev?
I'm going to talk about Carson and Studfield, that play. Carson, I would be okay with the backups playing the whole preseason and not seeing Carson the whole preseason because he's going to be ready game one. Ain't no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
He will be ready. But I want to talk about that play that Studfield got hurt on because I've seen Carson do it. I've seen Nick Foles do it. They're throwing the ball, trying to throw the ball away, and they're still taking a hit because the play is still going on. Throw the ball in the freaking dirt. Boom, the play is over with. It drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, listen, it was a penalty, so I don't know whether throwing the ball in the dirt would have prevented the hit anyway.
He just threw the ball in the dirt, and the play's over with. He's up here winding up to throw the ball, he's going to take a hit.
He's trying to impress. They call a timeout. They got the ball back. They call a timeout to see if he could do something in the last 30 seconds. So they're testing the guy. They're putting him through a test. I don't blame the Eagles for trying to get the ball down the field. And the quarterback is now charged with trying to get the ball down the field. He doesn't want to throw it in the dirt.
Mike.
He's trying to make a play. He's trying to impress people that he can play.
Mike.
In a perfect world, you're not wrong, but...
It bugs me, Mike. It just bugs me when they did this. Throw the ball in the dirt. Injuries happen.
It just happened.
Against us.
You can't prevent injuries like that. It's like, they happen. You know, it's nobody's fault. Why do you call timeout? Why don't you just go into the locker room at halftime? Well, they're giving the kid a chance to get the ball down the field. Yeah,
and the players, once they're in the game, they're not treating it like it's nothing. They're trying to compete.
It's game experience. You're under the gun. All right, see how you can perform with this type of situation.
And like you said, it was a penalty. It was a late hit. So I don't know if it would have made a difference. If a guy's going to hit you late.
Exactly.
After
you release, he's going to hit you late.
You might as well try to complete it.
Right.
Because then you tack on 15 more.
And the way he braced himself was kind of odd because his whole weight came down on it. But what's the alternative? You have to throw your hands back to brace your fall. Otherwise, your head braces your fall. So you're trying to protect your head. And use your arms to do it, and it just he got caught in an awkward position.
The weight of it
crumbled his wrist. Al in Cheltenham, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Al? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Friday to Ty and Nat. Love Sixers Outsiders. Love your show. I don't always agree with your takes, but, you know, on this one right here, I got a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, I was at the Eagles game yesterday. I had a luxury box tickets. A buddy of mine's company hooked us up. That was lovely. But what I don't understand, and, you know, maybe everybody got their different perceptions of football. Like, I played football for years. Please, with this Schwartz defense. Like, I don't think anybody noticed how many times our corners were 11 to 12 yards off of the wide receiver. And you wonder why you can't get off the field on third down. It's third and seven. Third and nine, all they got to do is run a dig route or a curl, any type of smoke.
They let that kid Hollister eat him alive. I caught a lot of passes last night for the Titans.
Mike, I watched the game, and I'm in the box, and people are like, why are you so hype? It's just preseason. I was like, yeah, but this is fundamental. This is how you play your defense. I can't blame talent when this is how they're coached up to just – respect these receivers like they're running 4-2s down the field.
Well, it's possible those guys backed off a little because you're afraid of losing a job, right? The last thing you want to do is get beat. So that's probably in the back of their minds. If I get beat, I don't make this team. So let's play it safe. I'll come up closing speed, whatever.
But Mike, you play sports. You know, like I know, if you're out there scared to lose,
I get you.
You got to compete.
I hear you.
The linebackers were deplorable. deplorable.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, I'm going to...
They don't have a lot of depth at linebacker, that's for sure.
I see the game's being re-aired at 6:30, so I'm a DVR that I want to see how I feel about it when I watch it on TV. Because at the game, mm-hmm. I've seen little league games where guys competed hard.
Yeah.
I've seen little types that, like, want to go do something, and mm-hmm. that was not out there. In the third quarter, we had, like, 19 yards rushing. I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
So that's my Eagles take. The other take is, and I don't always agree with your opinions, but I absolutely needed you to say this because I've been mad about this for over a year now. That Crown Royal commercial. Uh-huh. I'm as a black man, I'm like, well, maybe that's cultural. Maybe it's just nobody I know has ever brought Crown Royal to their mom and said, hey, mom, let's do this. I've never brought it to my mom, and they used to come on the NBA season all the time. I'm like, I don't, this commercial is stupid.
he's
so well known. Yeah, he walked around with a bottle of Crown.
Yeah, the premise of the commercial is he's a really good guy. He's a very popular guy. He's a hardworking kid. Everybody in the neighborhood loves him. And so, therefore, he's doing a service to his mom, and he brings it to Crown Royal. I guess I just had a different perception of what you bring to your mom. Surprise, mom! Here's some flowers. You know, I don't know. It's not a big deal, right? They start drinking Crown together. So I'm thinking, my brain goes, he brought it over. Come on, mom, let's get hammered on some Crown.
I
looked at.
He's a sipping liquor, mom. Let's sip some Crown Royal. Talk about
toast life.
And if Dad's not around, pour a little liquor out for Pops, who's not here with us.
I'm okay. It just I looked at it and I went,
I need to look up this commercial.
I've seen it. He's popular in the neighborhood.
I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, he's popular in the neighborhood. He's like the most popular guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, everybody loves Tony.
Yep. 610-632-0975. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Ninety-7.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 3:48, Mike Missinelli Show. So, yeah, I didn't get ready for this game last night. I'd nestle in with a little homemade pizza, right? But I got some time to kill. So I'm flipping through, and lo and behold, what's on? Oh, my God, Tyrone, I know you noticed it. NBA TV, 2001 Finals, Game 1, Sixers at the Lakers in the legendary Allen Iverson game. He drops 48 on. Now, there was a point in that game where they bring in Tyronn Lue. And Lue does a pretty decent defensive job on him. So they win the game. I don't know how they won this game. In retrospect, I was in the building that night in L.A., and they started to just leak. And the Lakers take a 5-point lead with 2-something to go, and I go, it's over. And somehow, the grace of God, with a flip shot by Rajah Bell and something else, they tie the game, and it goes no. In fact, they had the last shot of the game. And they missed in regulation, and they prevail in overtime, like a miraculous prevail. And Iverson scores like the last 7 points, including the dagger 3-pointer after Eric Snow makes a running flip shot banker, and Iverson makes the shot in the corner over Lue, steps over. So after the game, and I didn't realize this because I was at the game. So Lewis Johnson is the guy who is the sideline interviewer. So he gets AI there, and he says, Alan, you were cooking early in the game, and then you stopped scoring a little bit. Lue did a really good defensive job on you, and I see Iverson go. He sniffs. He's with that frown, like shaking his head. He goes, man, he was holding me the whole game. That was great.
It was
great. Post-game interview, he wanted to give no credit to Lue at all.
None. He's like, man, he's holding me the whole time. And then he tried to, it was a good win and all that stuff.
Oh, it was classic. As soon as Lewis Johnson said that, I knew he wasn't going to, because he doesn't take anything. He doesn't compliment anybody. Like, if it's against him, no. Nobody did anything defensively on me. Especially Tyronn Lue, not going to show me. So he's a sniffing frown on his face. Man, he's holding me the whole time.
was classic.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, and it blended into the start of the Eagles game.
Yeah.
The finish of that game. I'm going back and forth.
Like it just happened. Like, oh, no, the Sixers in the five.
You can never get enough of that game.
It was a great game.
Classic.
And everything, without that trade, I just wonder. Maybe they still would have lost. They probably, but.
What, the Dikembe?
Yeah. If they had Theo, and then, because they almost won game two. They almost got it 2-0. They almost won game two.
Yeah, well, Shaq had 48 on Dikembe in that game, too.
Yeah, because the whole point, oh, he's a Shaq stopper.
Shaq just destroyed
him. Right.
Yeah, all right, back to the phones. Kevin in Abington. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Good afternoon, team.
What's going on, Kev?
No, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I wanted to just continue the conversation on Carson, but you got to go back 4 years. Because when he was a rookie, he played a few minutes in the first exhibition game at the very end of the game with a bunch of guys who I promise you are not in the league anymore.
Yep.
Okay? Bruised up his ribs, didn't play the rest of the exhibition season, and wasn't going to play all year because they were going to redshirt him. They had a $7 million backup named Daniel. Remember Chase?
Yeah.
And that was their backup. He wasn't going to play. And on the Saturday, a week and a day before the season, they made the trade for Bradford to get him out.
Right.
And he was the starter.
Yes.
He had three practices. He came in and blitzed, admittedly, a lousy Cleveland team. They went to Chicago on a Monday night when everybody said, oh, the bright lights, now we'll see. And he beat Chicago. And then he came home against a really good Pittsburgh team, and they thumped him, okay? So I don't want to hear about what he needs in the preseason. He's 4 years in. He's got a lot of practice time with timing with these guys. He's been hitting Jackson every day. He will be fine. I'll take a bad quarter of rust against a bad Washington team versus the risk of losing him.
And that's exactly the crux of the whole issue. It's because I would... Of course, in a perfect world, I'd like to see him play a few series, getting singles offensive line as new weapons. But at this point, you can't. You can't. The risk-reward of it is not balanced. You know, I agree with you. So, yes, the better option is that he plays game one without any preseason service time, as opposed to sticking him out there with the risk of getting hurt because of the backup situation.
And he did it as a rookie. So you've got proof that this guy doesn't have to have it. And I mean, and he's a much better player with much better talent now. And they're going to be playing a lousy team. Can I just throw one other side issue in here very quickly? It's a compliment to Tyrone. Because earlier in the week, you had a jerk come up and call you Leroy. Okay? I heard that.
Yeah.
You handled yourself very well because you barely acknowledged it. But on behalf of anybody with a mind, I was offended for you, and I apologize for that ass, even if he won. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that word.
That's all right. We take the word ass. He was.
Okay, I just
Yeah, he was an unthinking man. That's all that was. All right, so let's store up for the 4 o'clock hour here on the Mike Misnell Show. Football Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. My lock of the week is coming up. What's the Phillies line tonight? My lock of the week is presented by McCausland Lock Services, 50% off car keys and remotes, online at 4carkeys.com. I'll deliver that in the 4 o'clock hour. And Tim McManus will join us in, I guess, like 15 minutes. So we'll get Tim's take on what they're going to do now at the quarterback situation and his opinion of how guys played. Mike Misnelli Show continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.